Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the Mean Evening News at 5 o'clock on Highland Radio. I'm Daniel Brennan. In this bulletin, Gardaí say the search for 21-year-old Buncrana woman Dana Tighe has been stood down following the discovery of a body. The INMO say that strike action will go ahead if the HSE can't guarantee that hospital staff are kept safe. It comes as the overcrowding crisis in hospitals continues to intensify. New figures have revealed that Inishowen has the lowest COVID vaccination rate for young children in the entire state. And Gardaí have made appeals following two thefts from churches in County Donegal. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more coming up over the next half hour. Also, Kenny Harker will be here with all the latest in sport from a quarter past five. To this evening's main news stories, and Gardaí say the search for missing 21-year-old Dana Tighe from Buncrana has been stood down following the discovery of a woman's body. Dana had been missing from the Buncrana area since Friday the 6th of January. Gardaí today thanked the public for their assistance in the matter. The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says that industrial action will go ahead if the HSE can't guarantee the safety of its members. The INMO is consulting its members this week about possible strike action, including staff at Letterkenny University Hospital. They say hospital staff currently don't feel safe, while they can't guarantee patient safety because of the overcrowding situation. There were 534 patients on trolleys in Irish hospitals today, with 36 awaiting a bed at Letterkenny University Hospital. INMO General Secretary Phil Nihay says their members have been left down.
We believe fundamentally that there's been an omission of care for those that work in the health service, particularly nurses and midwives, because the assaults and the figures that are recorded by the employer of assaults against nurses is on the increase, and it's unacceptable. In our view, the employer is not upholding its responsibility to keep their workers, in this case nurses and midwives, safe.
Meanwhile, GPs say they're doing all they can to treat people in the community and are only referring patients to hospital when it's absolutely necessary. Donegal GP Dr. Dennis McCauley says that doctors are seeing as many patients as possible.
We are assessors, we triage, we treat, and we only refer if it's actually necessary. General practice is seeing the patients that we can see, that we are assessing them all, and we're treating those that we can see and treating them in the community. The people that we are sending are people who have to, unfortunately, go to hospital for hospital care.
Nursing Homes Ireland CEO Ty Daly says that beds in nursing homes can form part of the solution to the crisis. It was reported at the weekend there are up to 1,000 empty beds around the country. On today's 9 till noon show, Ty Daly said there's a transitional care funding package in place that could cover the costs of short-term stays, but says it's important patients and families are briefed about the implications of availing of nursing home care.
Local hospitals, and in this case Letterkenny Hospital, should have the budget and the authority to be able to buy beds quickly in a local area for a predetermined period. That funding, to the best of my knowledge, isn't a problem at the moment. I believe there's adequate funding there. Obviously, we're in the early part of the year, so that funding is there as we speak. The issue there is, when that funding ceases. Clarity around that from the individual resident's point of view would be important in terms of transitioning to Fair Deal or potentially transitioning to home under a home care package. We're talking in January. I mean, to some degree, this was, somewhat predictable. So our view is that this should be discussed in, September, October, so that we can plan many of these initiatives so that they're ready to go in January rather than trying to be always reactive. And that's collaborative. That's not blaming anybody. We're part of the solution. The HSE, the local hospital, the local community healthcare organisation, all of us need to work collaboratively together in the best interests of our older people.
New figures released by the Central Statistics Office have revealed that Inishowen has the lowest COVID vaccination rate for young children, as well as first booster doses in the state. Donal Kavanagh has the details.
Inishowen returned the lowest vaccination rates for 4 to 11-year-olds in the country, with just 4% of that cohort vaccinated in the north and south Inishowen electoral areas. That compares to 55% in Stillorgan in Dublin. In Donegal's other electoral areas, 6% were vaccinated in Lifford Stranorder, 9% in Milford, Donegal and Atlantis, and 15% in Letterkenny. South Innishowen also had the country's lowest uptake of first booster vaccines at 36%. That compares to 75% in Rathfarnham and Templeogue. Elsewhere, North Innishowen was at 44%, Letterkenny 52%, Milford 54%, Donegal 58%, and Glenties 60%. The second booster figures show 11% in South Innishowen, 13% in Letterkenny, 14% in North Innishowen, 15% in Lifford-Stranorer, 17% in Milford, 18% in Donegal, and 21% in Glenties.
Trooper Shane Kearney, who was injured in the attack in Lebanon that killed Private Sean Rooney, is no longer in a critical condition. He's continuing his recovery in Beaumont Hospital in Dublin, where his condition is now described as stable. Private Rooney died following the incident on December 14th last year, while Shane Kearney was seriously injured and returned to Ireland for treatment. The Defence Forces say that medical staff are satisfied with his continued and steady progress, and they've thanked the public for their support. The Taoiseach says it's still difficult to resolve differences over the Northern Ireland Protocol. However, he's welcomed a new positive momentum in Brexit talks. Micheál Martin is in Brussels today, where he met with EU negotiator Maros Sefcovic. He says a lot of work still remains to be done.
We should allow both sides to continue to engage and take it step by step, you know, and that's the only way we can see progress here. It's still very difficult. I mean, issues have been identified already here in this conversation, but it will fall to both teams of negotiators to try and resolve those issues. And ultimately, if the negotiators are successful, well, then that means a new approach then.
Gardaí are investigating two thefts from churches in Donegal. A money box was opened with bolt cutters last week at St Bridget's Church in Ballintra, and an oil tank was emptied at Knowhead Presbyterian Church near Mough. Garda Claire Rafferty made this appeal for information on today's 9 till noon show.
We're very anxious to see if anyone has information about this theft at St Bridget's Church in Ballintra. So it was Thursday the 5th of January between 3:30pm and 5pm. The money box to the candle station was removed and a sum of cash was stolen from it. It was got by cutting the padlock, basically. So we appeal to anyone who have noticed suspicious activity or of any description in or around the church grounds on Thursday, just to make contact with Ballyshannon again on 071-985-8530. Again, someone was targeting a church in the Mough area. Gardaí and Bunkran are investigating the theft of oil from an oil tank at Knowhead Presbyterian Church in Derryvane in Mough. The tank was filled in recent weeks, and when a check was carried out yesterday, it was empty. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed any sort of suspicious activity in or around the church grounds in recent times to make contact with Bunkrana Gardaí 074-932-0540.
Meanwhile, Gardaí are also seeking help after a house was burgled in Drumnalos, Mount Charles, on Tuesday last between 10 past 5 and 9:30 in the evening. Entry had been gained to the house via the front door, which had been forced open. A number of rooms were entered and searched, and a sum of cash was stolen. Letterkenny Gardaí are also investigating the theft of a cherry picker from the Navanie area of Ballybuffet between 6 o'clock last Thursday evening and 8 o'clock on Friday morning. Anyone who saw it being transported from there or knows where it might be now is being asked to come forward. It's thought that a new Omicron subvariant could be the dominant strain of COVID in the coming months. 5 cases of the XBB 1.5 variant were detected by the Health Protection Surveillance Centre in Ireland in the month leading up to Christmas. It was first detected in the US in October last year, where it's thought it currently accounts for around 30% of COVID cases. Professor of Immunovirology at University College Cork, Liam Fanning, says it's not surprising that we're seeing new variants.
It's part of the kind of smorgasbord of kind of variants that we're seeing at the moment. Whether it rises to kind of dominate in Europe or not remains to be seen. That won't happen for a number of weeks if it's going to happen at all. You know, it's at such a low percentage, although it is in about 13 European countries identified at the moment, about 28 worldwide. So it is quite likely over February and March that this particular variant could dominate worldwide.
Shots were fired at a house in Derry in the early hours of this morning. No injuries were reported, but police say the occupants of the house were left badly shaken. Alan Cantwell has more.
Police say they received reports just before 20 past midnight that two loud bangs had been heard outside an address in the Melmore Gardens area. The occupants of the house, who were in bed at the time, were awakened by the noise. Police say there were no reports of injuries, but damage was caused to the front door of the property. Three men dressed in dark clothing were subsequently seen running away from the house in the direction of Leanan Gardens. Police say this was a reckless attack on a home where a number of people, including children, were asleep in their beds. Inquiries are ongoing and the PSNI are appealing to anyone who was in the area at the time and saw anything, or who may have dash cam, CCTV or other video footage, to contact them.
Ballyshannon Workhouse is in a critical condition and urgent works need to be carried out on the building. That's according to Councillor Barry Sweeney, who's planning on raising the issue at today's meeting of the Donegal Municipal District. A large section of the workhouse, which is a protected building, is derelict, while major work is needed to restore the roof. Councillor Sweeney believes it's crucial the work is carried out soon to prevent further deterioration of the historic building.
The Ballyshannon Workhouse is a very important building. It's a fantastic and the only complete example in County Donegal. It's at the stage where there's a large section of the workhouse is derelict. Work needs to be done very quickly, and there's been a lot of talk about it over many years. But it's also at a crucial point where, thankfully, work on the Shiel Hospital is going well, and the Rock Nursing Unit patients will transfer to the Shiel Hospital at some stage later this year. Something needs to be done with that workhouse, and I think the first and foremost is that we need to save the roof and make it watertight. It's a huge project, it will take a lot of money, but we need to find a pathway and come up with a decisive plan as to what is going to happen to the workhouse in Ballyshannon. I'm going to bring this up at the meeting, and while there's a lot of work going on heritage buildings in Ballyshannon, it's something that we need to continue to work at with all our important buildings. It is Ireland's oldest town. It needs to be branded and protected in that way. I just think that the Ballyshannon Workhouse is crucial to this. Another element that I've been looking at in recent times is funding sources for this. And I think there should be options on a cross-border basis to team up with, for example, Enniskillen Workhouse or another workhouse across the border. And that could open up funding avenues, and there would be no better place to share our history and share our common past through some of these funding opportunities.
The time is coming up to 30 minutes past five. We'll take a short break, and Sport with Kenny is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy's Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15, time to go over to Kenny Harkin for all the latest.
Thanks, Daniel. Starting with Gaelic Games and the Donegal panel to play Monaghan in the Bank of Ireland Dr. McKenna Cup tomorrow night has been named. If manager Paddy Carr sticks with the 15 on the sheet, there'll be seven changes in the side from last Sunday's defeat at Down. There'll be a debut for keeper Gavin Mulroney and first starts for John Ross Molloy, Johnny McGruddy and Cian Barrett, while Marty O'Reilly, Mark Curran and Oran Doherty are also set to line out. Caelan Ward, Brendan McColl, Stephen McMenamin, Donald McBride, Dara O'Boyle, Jack McKelvey, Luke McGlynn and Paddy McBurty are all retained. Ward moves moves to full back, while McColl is taken out to centre half back. Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh will have coverage of Donegal against Down on Highland Radio from 7:35 tomorrow evening. Well, ATU Donegal start their Sigerson Cup campaign this evening against DCU in Convoy. ATU manager Maxi Curran has been dealt a blow, with Rory O'Donnell set to miss a number of weeks because of a hamstring injury picked up in Donegal's defeat to Down on Sunday in Newry. Clohanaly's Jason McGee is also understood to be a doubt. The ATU side will have county panellists Ryan McFadden, Jack McSherry and Joel Bradley Walsh in their lineup, while DCU have Donegal men Shane O'Donnell, Jamie Grant and Johnny McGruddy in their ranks. Queen's or Ulster University Jordanstown, they await the winners and losers of this evening's fixture. Donegal's Keelan McColgan could feature for Ulster University, while Owen McGeehan is in Queen's. They're also playing this evening. Niamh Connell's Jack McKelvey is with UCD, who are away to MTU Cork. ATU Donegal and DCU, they throw in at the Donegal GA Centre this evening in Convoy at 7 o'clock. In other news, Kildare say they'll be unable to field a side for tomorrow night's O'Byrne Cup fixture with Westmeath and have pulled out. Glenn Ryan's side are unable to field, are able to qualify for the semi-finals following their weekend defeat to Louth. It means two of tomorrow night's dead rubbers will not now go ahead. In soccer, there's two Caribou Cup quarter-finals down for decision tonight. Manchester United host League One side Charlton Athletic at Old Trafford, with United skipper Bruno Fernandes suspended for the tie. New signing Jack Butland could start in goal for the Red Devils. United have won 10 of their last 11 competitive games under manager Erik ten Hag. The other game tonight's between Newcastle and Leicester City at St James's Park. Newcastle are looking to get back on track after their FA Cup exit to Sheffield Wednesday. Swedish international Alexander Isak may feature for the Magpies. Both those games kick off at 8 o'clock. In other news, Aston Villa have agreed a fee of in the region of £13 million with Real Betis for defender Alex Moreno. The 29-year-old left-back will have a medical at the club tomorrow. And Wolves manager Julian Lopetegui says the club have written to the FA seeking an explanation regarding their disallowed goal against Liverpool. Tote Gomez's late strike was chalked off for offside during the FA Cup third-round tie at Anfield. There's four games being played in the Irish League Premiership tonight. Glentoran, they play Ballymena United. Second place Cliftonville, they're at home to third place Linfield. Glenavon play Crusaders and Newry City take on Coleraine. All those games kick off at 7.45. In rugby, the bad news keeps coming for Ulster, with Marty Moore requiring surgery on a torn anterior cruciate ligament. Robert Balakun and Sean Reffel have also been ruled out of Saturday's Heineken Champions Cup trip to La Rochelle with respective hamstring and ankle injuries. Meanwhile, Matty Ray suffered a foot injury while playing for Ulster A last weekend. Ulster will be in action the same day as Ireland's Six Nations meeting with Italy. Their trip to Sale Sea Sharks was postponed due to illness in October, but has been rearranged for Durban on Saturday, February the 25th. Munster have confirmed that Mossy Lawler will join the province as a skills coach next season. It's a further shake-up for Connacht, who also see their director of rugby, Andy Friend, leave at the end of this campaign. Speaking ahead of Saturday's Challenge Cup meeting with Breve, Friend says he doesn't expect any further coaching departures. And Luke Cowan-Dickie will miss at least the start of England's Six Nations campaign after suffering an ankle injury. And England could also begin the competition without Owen Farrell, who faces a disciplinary panel this evening. Finally for this evening, in snooker, Mark Allen has suffered a heavy first-round defeat at the Masters. The Antrim man was whitewashed 6-0 by Barry Hawkins this afternoon at Alexandra Palace. Hawkins will play Ryan Day or Judd Trump in the quarterfinals. This evening, Mark Williams faces Dave Gilbert, with a quarterfinal against Ronnie O'Sullivan awaiting the winner. That's your sports. Back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. Irish fishing representatives say more effort is needed to promote growth in the Irish seafood sector. Over the past 5 years, seafood exports in Ireland grew by less than 1%, while running costs increased and quotas were cut. A. O'Donnell, chief executive of the Irish Fish Producers Organisation, says this is in stark contrast to Norway, where seafood exports grew by 25% last year alone. Mr. O'Donnell says that's what the Irish sector should be seeking to emulate.
What we have is a situation where Norway has a population similar to Ireland of about 5 million people, but essentially they've grown their export revenue in seafood products to about 14 billion in the last year. This compares or contrasts in actual fact with ours at about 652 million. So Norway has successfully delivered growth of about 20 times the turnover of Ireland for seafood products. And this is basically an indication of a failure of policy to value our seafood and to develop it in a long-term way.
And the seafood experts here, they've delivered less than 1% growth over the past 5 years, so that's a really disappointing figure then.
Well, it is, given that we're an island nation, given that we have very significant resources off our coasts, but it's also an indication that we just don't have the quotas to support the development of the industry. We have the markets, we have the boats, we have the vessels, we have the expertise. We have the brand, we have the recognition internationally, but we don't have access to our own resources to develop growth. Specifically about blue whiting, the Norwegians want to try and catch a lot of this product in the Irish fishing area west of Ireland. And we're essentially saying, fine, if you want to catch the product, you've got to give some dividend to Ireland by way of additional quota to compensate our fishermen to enable them to grow and to sustain their business.
Irish Water say the R245 road at Tank Bray in the Remelton area is to be closed at night time for works. The Tank Bray road will be closed from 7pm to 6am from tonight until Thursday the 12th of January for essential water maintenance works. 77 food closure orders were served on businesses last year. That's an increase of 31% on 2021, according to the Food Safety Authority of Ireland. There was one closure order served in Donegal in December. A station for the preparation of baguettes, sandwiches and wraps at the Cozy Corner in Crossroads Kilnegordon was closed on the 1st of December when a number of issues were identified during an inspection. That order was then lifted 4 days later on December 5th. And finally, a new subsidised local Hackney service is to be provided in Milford. Transport Minister Eamon Ryan and the National Transport Authority have launched a one-year pilot programme for localised Hackney services in rural areas. Milford is one of the areas included in the pilot. Emma Ryan has more.
The one-year pilot programme for a localised specially licensed Hackney service in Milford is aimed at helping improve transport choices for people living in rural locations. The local Hackney pilot is a grant-aided programme which is designed to encourage new part-time local Hackney services to operate in communities which could not support a full-time taxi or Hackney operation. All drivers will be licensed, insured and Garda vetted. The local Hackney, which exclusively operates on a pre-booked basis, may only pick up passengers within a designated area of 7 to 10 kilometres from a point selected in Milford. The drop-off point has no restrictions, with trips to healthcare facilities and transport hubs further afield anticipated. More information is available on our website at highlandradio.com.
Weather now, cold and blustery this evening and tonight with clear spells and scattered showers with a chance of isolated thunderstorms and hail. Lowest temperatures of 2 to 6 degrees overnight tonight. And to this evening's main stories once again. Gardaí say the search for 21-year-old Buncrana woman Dana Tighe has been stood down following the discovery of a body today. The INMOs say that strike action will go ahead if the HSE can't guarantee that hospital staff are kept safe. It comes as the overcrowding crisis in hospitals continues to intensify. New figures have revealed that Inishowen has the lowest COVID vaccination rate for young children in the entire state. And Gardaí have made several appeals following two thefts from churches in County Donegal. That's all from the news desk for now. I'll be back with headlines at 6. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Tuesday evening, January the 10th. The death has taken place of Peggy McGlinchey, 19 St Agnes Terrace, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, Buncrana, with viewing from 2pm until 4pm each afternoon until Friday. Removal from there on Friday afternoon at 4pm, going to her residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Peter Freil, Arahira, Fanad Head and Blur. His remains are reposing at Blur, Fanad. Removal from there at 10:30am tomorrow morning, arriving at St Mary's Church, Fanavalti for 11am Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary at 8pm tonight. Family time please from 10pm to 11am and the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to Ard Even Unit Carndonna, care of any family member or Eamon Scott funeral directors. The death has occurred of James Jim Duffy, 473 Calais Cottages. His remains are reposing at his late residence until 11pm this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Calais, with burial afterwards in Newton Cunningham Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Dennis Boyle, 33 Wolftone Place, Glencar, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at St Noonan's Cathedral overnight tonight. Requiem Mass there at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, which can be viewed online at churchservices.tv, followed by interment in the family plot in New Lech Cemetery. Flyers welcome or donations, if wished, to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.